You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY Allentown. Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics, and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. To ensure compliance with requirements imposed by the IRS, we inform you that any U.S. federal tax advice contained in this communication is not intended to or to be used for the purpose of avoiding penalties under the Internal Revenue Code or promoting, marketing, or recommending to another party any transaction or matter addressed herein. This show is for educational purposes only. For advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, which is a Certified Financial Planner, an AEP, which is an Accredited Estate Planner, and that's that. So that's what I am. Thank you for joining us. I hope you can stay tuned this evening. It's a little hot, so I imagine people are staying, either driving around town in their cars so they can stay in their air conditioning, or staying late at work to stay in air conditioning, or getting home if you have it there. But boy, I drove in nice and cool, and when I got out of my car tonight coming into the studio, it was like, oh, the heat hit me so hard. I said I felt sick for a moment. So be careful out there. It's very strange heat. So you are listening to Your Financial Choices. You can find us also on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online at wdiy.org. I also want to mention that you can listen to prior shows. We have podcasts on wdiy.org. So if you're interested in listening to any of the prior shows that we've done here on Your Financial Choices, you can go to that website, look for the program host Lori Siebert, and find those podcasts. Today is June 26, 2013. The markets were up today. The Dow closing at 14,910, the NASDAQ at 3376, and the S&P at 1603. We're talking tonight about hot topics in financial planning. Hot topics, hot buttons. What are people talking about? Trying to get y'all stirred up. Last week, we discussed life phase planning for blended families. I think it's very important to do great planning if you're thinking about blending families. I want to just talk about this for a moment because I think this should be a hot topic. That is blended families. Last week, we talked about phase one, when you're planning for the near future of your new blended family with children. Phase two, your future after child support. Phase three, surviving spouse, how you plan for your surviving spouse in a blended family. Phase four, planning for your heirs. Blended families, I mean, where you have a couple who may each be bringing children from prior marriages or relationships into this new relationship. Maybe you have children together. It really mixes up the dynamics of a family, and there's lots of planning that should be done around it to help both with the emotional impact of that, but the financial impact as well. So life phase planning, very important for people. If you are affected by that or may be affected by that, I suggest listening to last week's show, and that podcast is on wdiy.org. One last comment about that. I find that when I had mentioned that I thought it should be a hot topic, and I don't see people talking about it as much as I think they should. One of the theories I had been kind of running around in my head with was, is it that it is of such a sensitive nature that people are afraid to talk about it? You know, let me just add my take on that, which is, it's going to be much more sensitive if you don't talk about it. So, you know, don't worry about sparing anybody's feelings. It's much, much better, in my opinion, to get that out on the table, talk about how families are going to be affected when two families join together. So that is a hot topic I think that we should have, although it hasn't been. So blended families. Tonight, though, we are talking about hot topics. If you have questions this evening, you can call in at 610-758-8810. We are live. We do talk about general financial planning topics, not specific investments. If you have questions, you can give us a call and call in live, or just give us your question and say you're not comfortable talking live on air. Judy Ann is here. She'll write down your question and she'll bring it into the studio to me. If you're comfortable talking live on air, we love that. I love having questions. Last week I didn't have any calls, and it makes for a long show for me. So if you have questions, you can call in. We just ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. If you're more comfortable sending in questions, you can do that through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. So, again, tonight topic is hot topics, hot buttons. And I picked four that I think are standing out for me most recently. And hot topic number one that I'm going to talk about is women. Hot topic, women. So that hopefully will be interesting to some people. Hot topic number two, interest rates. Hot topic number three, housing. I just have a little bit to say about that because I didn't really, you know, have time to look that up too much. And then hot topic number four is Social Security. And I think that's probably one of the most worthy things to talk about. So women, why do I think women are going to be a hot topic? Well, maybe it's because I'm immersed in the financial services world, and it seems that everything I read is talking about women lately. And for those people who watch those financial shows on television, I'm not sure what you're experiencing or if it's even being addressed. But in my world, and why I want you to be aware of it, women are the hot topic. It's as if we just showed up. The women just got here. And who do you think thinks they just got here? Well, the men. The men think we just got here, at least in the financial world. I guess they've been paying attention to us other ways. But there's all this awareness around women and why. They're talking as if women are, you know, kind of a new market for financial services. And there's lots of promotion around men learning how to talk and listen to them, or at least appear to how to talk and listen to them. So what do I mean by men learning how to talk and listen to them? And by the way, it's not exactly directed like, oh, we're going to teach the men how to do it. But according to Cirilli, if I'm saying that correctly, a Cirilli Associates study noted in Investment News on May 6th, 2013, only 7.9% of advisors who work directly with clients are women. And through the Bureau of Labor Statistics, it shows that 36% of advisors are women. So how that was interpreted is 36% of advisors are women, but only 7.9% of them work directly with clients. So there are women who may be in financial services and identify as maybe an advisor, but they're not directly working with clients, which means maybe they are doing some of the support work, okay? Now, 70% of widows will change their financial advisor within 1 year of their spouse's death. 70% of women would like to work with a female advisor, but only 20% do. And having just given the statistics about how many women are actually advisors, I guess it's, you know, makes sense that only 20% of these widows find a female advisor to work with, even though they'd like to work with women more. Judy Ann found some local statistics for me as well. Judy Ann is here in the studio with me and helps out with marketing. She found statistics to our local area, and the statistics are 52% of the population of both Allentown and Bethlehem is women. 54% of the Lehigh Valley population is married, and 25% have never been married. 8.4% are single mothers. 16% are lone female householders, and most are 40 to 60 years old. Okay, overall, women, including those who are unmarried, are now the leading or solo breadwinners in 40% of U.S. households, compared with just 11% in 1960. So with these numbers, the rise in women, widows, in fact, who will change their financial advisor within 1 year of their spouse's death. Why is that? Maybe we'll talk about that in a little bit when we come back from the break. So our first hot topic tonight, women, and we'll delve into this a little bit deeper. I find it so interesting. If you have questions, give us a call. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Hi, this is Rebecca Walls, Development Director here at WDIY. We are closing out our fiscal year at the end of the month, and I'm asking you to consider making a donation today. We only have a few thousand dollars to go to reach our overall membership goal for the fiscal year. Once we're able to do that, we'll have the resources we need to continue to bring you the outstanding programming you expect and enjoy here on WDIY. Please make your secure donation today on our website, wdiy.org, and thanks for listening.
We are back. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. If you have questions this evening, you can give us a call at 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And you can also send questions through yourfinancialchoices.com. We are talking about hot topics, hot buttons tonight, in particular how those affect women. And my number one hot topic tonight was women. At the start of the show, I had mentioned it seems as if we've just been discovered. And that is because all of the statistics that we've been trending lately are that there are more and more women breadwinners, more and more women in charge of the households. The population, even locally, is skewed more toward women. A lot of single mothers, a lot more lone female householders, and more women 40 to 60 years old. And the last statistics in this financial services world is, you know, one of the reasons we're getting discovered as well is because 70% of widows will change their financial advisor within 1 year. And we'll talk a little bit about why that might happen. So women, you have been discovered. Over the next 40 years, 70% of the wealth will transfer to women. If you're a female who's not informed about basic financial decisions and awareness, now is the time to get informed. For me, it's about being empowered. I like people to be empowered. You do not need to know every detail, but I like you to have awareness enough that you can trust those instincts that we all have, you know, so much of women. We're lucky. We're very instinctual people. I'm generalizing, but I think it's true. So as far as being empowered, my mother worked when I was growing up. My parents had a store, and basically the whole family worked there. But me, I babysat, and then I worked in a drugstore, opting for that over the hardware store. Having my mother work at a hardware store, I saw how empowered that woman was because she could fix just about anything in the house just as well as my father. And what was really funny is she had so much more energy than him. So this woman just, you know, would go and go and go. She'd work and then she'd come home and she'd, you know, take care of the family and she'd fix the dryer and do the laundry. And, you know, it was empowering for me growing up in a household with a mother who I felt was empowered. Although there were moments where I would feel that she didn't feel as empowered. So I think in her skills, she felt empowered. In what she could do, she felt empowered. But not always felt empowered, I think, in her decision making. And partly because, you know, men, I think, traditionally took that role of running, you know, the books and the finances in the house. So we did come to a point. My father had a stroke young. He was 54 years old, and he really couldn't work anymore. His kind of yes, no functions didn't really work. And my mother had to kind of take over the store. So while she had worked for a very long time, knew everything, knew you know, could tell the size of a screw just by looking at it. What she experienced was a pullback from the community. We were in a very small town. A pullback from the community, people thinking that she, you know, couldn't do it. My father had been the, you know, the owner, and, you know, he did everything. So what she ran into, though, and what she discovered later was that because my father had the stroke, prior to that, there's all kinds of signs. You have to be able to read the signs. But, you know, he had not been keeping the books as well as he could have or should have. Well, my mother pulled them out of what could have been some really dire circumstances, which I guess you could say would further empower her as well. But what was sad for me was to find out about it after the fact. Remember, this show is all about being proactive, not reactive. I don't like having to react to things. So if we're, you know, have the ability to educate ourselves, enlighten ourselves, empower ourselves ahead of time, you can avoid a lot of conflict, problems, you know, roadblocks, emergencies. So my mom had instilled in us that it was okay to work as a woman. And I also saw that she, I think, was, I don't know what the word would be, flummoxed by not having been more involved in the financials in my parents' store, because it really took her a while to kind of come back from things. So she got that all worked out. It was very empowering. But my mother had said that we should always work, my sister and I, that we should always work, because she said you never know what might happen and you have to have options. So you may not have to know every detail about the markets or the asset classes you're invested in, but what I strongly suggest is that you need to at least know your options. Awareness is power and beats the consequences of the unwary. No matter who you choose to work with, whether it's a male or a female, make sure that you know your options and what, and that your advisor's listening to you, hearing you, and engaging you around your financial choices. So I think that's really important. The hot topic of women, you know, and that there could be this segment of advisors who are trying to figure out how to work with them. If it's sincere, I'm all for it. You have to be aware of how it's working for you. Now, I have a caller. Judy Ann, is the caller online? No. Okay, it's off air. Okay, so I had a caller. Jennifer called in, and she had two questions. She eligible to roll over 401k to an existing Roth IRA. She understands gross income less deductions is taxable income. Taxable income plus $30,000 rollover will still be less than the $72,500 projected upper limit for the 15% tax bracket. Wow, this woman's done her homework. Yay, Jennifer. Then also understands that capital gains taxed at zero, so don't need any backup withholding. Am I missing something? What do I need to be aware of? So Jennifer's questions. She's eligible to roll over a 401k to an existing Roth IRA. Okay. What that means, folks, is she has a retirement plan at an employer. That's the 401k. And usually you have an option to roll it over to an IRA, a self-directed IRA, which when we talk about 401ks with your employer, you could have put money in pre-tax, meaning you're not paying tax on it today. Some 401ks have a feature called the Roth 401k feature, where you actually could have put money into the Roth. Irregardless of that, employers are now may allow the option to roll over a 401k, whether it's a 401k or a Roth 401k, they may give you the option to roll it directly over to a Roth. Now, if your 401k contributions were done pre-tax, meaning you have not paid tax on them then yet, and you use the option to roll it over to a Roth, that means you have to pay tax on it today. But there's no 10% penalty because you're rolling it over. If you have opted in for the Roth feature in your 401k, then you may roll over the Roth 401k piece to a self-directed Roth IRA, okay? Or you might have a mix of both, so you have to be aware of that. Now, I think what Jennifer's asking, she's saying if her rollover is about $30,000 and she adds it to her other income on her tax return, one of the things you want to look for when you're deciding whether to do money into a Roth and pay tax today is if you think you're going to be in a much, much lower tax bracket today than you will in the future, then it would make sense maybe to pay the income tax today if I think in the future I'm going to pay a higher tax. So if I left my money in my 401k and took it out in the future and I'm in a higher bracket, would it have made sense if I took it out today, converted it to the Roth, paid the tax today, no penalty, and then let my money in the Roth grow tax-free into the future? And there are no minimum required distributions on a Roth. So if Jennifer is in a 15% or lower bracket, and it's all ordinary income, let's pretend, is that a good decision? If, Jennifer, you think you're going to be in a much higher tax bracket in the future, that could be a good decision. I still always suggest that people run it through the tax software if you can, because you don't want to put yourself into like an AMT situation, alternative minimum tax, or like if you have itemized deductions that end up getting limited because your income's higher. So I just like you to make sure that the numbers still work. And then you had mentioned that as long as your income is in the 15% or lower tax bracket, you posed another question about capital gains. You won't have any capital gains on this transaction because this is all ordinary income kind of transactions. The only reason you would have capital gains is if you sold something else and it was long term, or you have qualified dividends. And if you have those and you stay in the 15% bracket, then yes, those capital gains or qualified dividends will be taxed at zero. This is why I love when people go through like a tax calculation or a tax projection, because you're absolutely right, Jennifer. If you do this rollover and you tell me that you're staying in the 15% bracket even with this, and you told me you had capital gains and qualified dividends, I'd say, you go, girl, that's all at zero. And that's a really nice planning opportunity. But if that $30,000 rollover were to throw you into that next bracket, and now your capital gains are getting taxed at 15 instead of zero, that's a huge difference in tax rate. So run the numbers. I think you're on the right track, and just explore it a little further. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion on Hot Topics. Back in a sec.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And you are listening to WDIY Allentown, listener-supported community public radio. Lehigh Valley weather, current conditions, 85 degrees under hazy skies. Tonight, chance of thunderstorms, lows around 65. Thursday, heavy rain, highs around 85. Friday and Saturday, chance of thunderstorms, highs around 82 degrees. Folks, the time now is 6:23. Now back to your financial choices with our host, Lori Siebert.
Thanks, Jeff. I want to follow up with Jennifer one more time. Jennifer, I hope you're still listening, because one of the questions I realized, you know, I have to anticipate sometimes when I don't have live callers, I have to kind of anticipate where you were going with questions. And now I'm starting to piece something together when I had a chance to reread your question, which is, it sounds to me like you might think that the rollover is going to be taxed at zero, and it's not, because again, it is ordinary income. So I think you need to be really aware of that. That's ordinary income will be subject to ordinary rates. If you stay in the 15% or lower tax bracket, at least you're not paying a lot of income tax on it. But one of the questions Judy Ann had written down is, she said, you understand that capital gains taxed at zero, so don't need any backup withholding. You need withholding on a role on something here, because you will have income tax if this is all, you know, ordinary income on your return. So be aware of that. Anytime you convert IRA money that's, you know, or 401k money that's from pre-tax dollars that you've never paid income tax on, that retains its ordinary income character. It will be subject to ordinary rates as they would apply to you in your situation. So you have your page one income, maybe a little salary, maybe your rollover, I don't know, maybe some interest, dividends. You have page one income, less your itemized deductions if you itemize, which is your mortgage interest, your real estate taxes, your charitable contributions, your state and local taxes. And then you have less your exemptions. That's where you come up to your taxable income. And that's what you have to kind of go through and say, okay, do I have any capital gains inside this income? But your rollover will be ordinary. And if you end up with taxable income, then chances are you will, you know, owe some tax on that and may need some withholding. So run the numbers and then make the decision. Proactive is always better than reactive. Jennifer, thank you for calling in. I really appreciate it. I love questions. If you do have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We had Tom call in from Bethlehem. He said, can you give your opinion on holding gold equities and your opinion about where the S&P is going? The S&P is going up and down, and that's my opinion on that. And I don't have an opinion on holding gold equities. I can't make any investment kind of commentary. It's not my game to play there. And it seems that that goes up and down as well. So what I suggest to people is if you have a diversified portfolio, then your goal there is try to just smooth out the up and downs. So when you're worrying about where the S&P is going and, you know, holding gold equities or, you know, holding gold, you really should be having more of a conversation about what does your whole portfolio look like and what is your goal for the portfolio and where are you in your life and how are you with risk. So it's more about diversification and then how you get that. And one point about worrying about the S&P, sometimes people will invest and they'll say, you know, oh, these funds aren't doing as well as the S&P or these funds aren't doing as well as the NASDAQ. You know, you have to pay attention to the benchmarks that you're using as well, because, you know, if you are conservative and you have everything in bonds because you can't stand the volatility in the market, then you shouldn't be comparing that to the S&P. So be aware of what you have. Look at a good diversified portfolio. Look at your underlying holdings and see how those asset classes maybe are doing against a benchmark or against their other peers. So that is my comment on that. But Tom, thank you for calling. I appreciate it. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You know, I'm going to throw in one more comment. I think Jeff and I were talking before the show. I think it was last week when I came in, and I'm just so flabbergasted by how people verbalize their reaction to the market, and in particular, the people on television. You've got to remember, folks, that their job is to get you to listen and watch more. It's like nicotine in cigarettes. It's whatever they can get, you know, used to get you addicted. And I think it was last Wednesday. And I don't have where the market was last Wednesday. I don't have my notes from last week. But I think I remembered they said when right before I came in that the market had plunged. One of the weeks, it had plunged. And today, before I came in, when I was looking at CNBC, it had soared. It had absolutely soared. So, you know, you got to take all of this with some calmness, you know, and try to keep things in perspective while everyone else around you may be, you know, running around like chickens with their heads cut off. It is empowering to try to just make good decisions for yourself and to your own situation, not worry about what the people on television are saying necessarily. You need to be informed. Absolutely. Take it with a grain of salt. Understand for yourself. Make good decisions for yourself. It's like listening to your neighbors tell you, you know, what they're doing, and you think you need to be doing that too, when in fact your neighbors may have their house mortgaged up the wazoo, they may have all these cars in the driveway, and you know, you think you have nothing. Well, you might be in a better position than them. So you never know. Just get informed for yourself and pay attention for yourself and make sure you're doing the right things. All right. So hot topics tonight. I'm going to try to take us right to the half hour, so I don't want to start into the next thing. But I will mention my hot topic number one was women, and just women beware of what's coming at you. Make sure that you're informed. Do your best to be comfortable with your goals and make sure people are listening to you as well. We'll be back in just a second.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk and traditional music is a crazy quilt of colors and textures. In the tradition traces its many patterns and designs. Music handed down from generation to generation. In the tradition, Wednesday evening at 7 on WDIY FM Lehigh Valley Community Public Radio.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. If you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. I thank Tom and Jennifer for calling earlier. I appreciate the calls, appreciate the questions. If you prefer to talk live, you can call in. We can talk back and forth, 610-758-8810. If you're not comfortable talking on live, it's fine. Give your question to Judy Ann, and she'll bring it in to me. Or you can send your questions through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. So tonight we're talking a little bit about some hot topics, hot buttons, things, you know, to make people react. So I don't want you to react. I want you to be proactive. So we talked a bit about women. I just want to tie that last topic up by saying young women out there who might be in college taking accounting courses or financial planning courses, and you're thinking about entering the financial services world, consider your options as well and how we might fill this void in the financial advisory world, get more women in there to help. We do have a certain skill set that works very well in this business. Hot topic number two, interest rates. CNBC.com at the end of today had an article, Will the Massive Flight from Bonds Continue? Not just, you know, a flight from bonds, but a massive flight from bonds. It kind of makes you go, oh my gosh, there's a massive flight. And on Forbes.com, a recent article titled Smart Money Moves went on to say, now that interest rates are rising, says the long-awaited day of reckoning is here. The era of historically low interest rates is over, or at least that's how investors have reacted to the statement from Federal Reserve Board Chairman Ben Bernanke on June 19th that the downside risk to the outlook for the economy and the labor market have diminished. And then investors began to react. And that was an article that I believe was written by Chris Farrell on Forbes.com. So he was not really making a statement. He was saying, you know, now that interest rates are rising, you know, the day of reckoning is here. Where are we? So I'm not an economist and don't pretend to be. But what I do like to promote, as you know, is awareness of how interest rates work and how to interpret what we're hearing in the news. One day last week, CNBC said the market plunged. As I mentioned, today it soared. Here we hear massive flight, all these big words. So I'm pretty sure that the markets go up and down. So manage your expectation. Do not drink the Kool-Aid. And do your homework. So that Forbes article was very interesting. It goes on to say that a higher interest rate environment will benefit savers. And it will be a mixed bag for investors and make loans and credit cards more expensive for borrowers. They also said it will happen slowly, mainly because the economy is still weak. So don't let the hot topic be panic. interest rates are rising. So we don't want it to be panic. Let the hot topic be, as interest rates rise, that may be better for me if I'm a saver and not as good for me if I'm a borrower. So to take advantage of this, I need to learn to become a saver and not so much a borrower. And how do I make that happen? So that's what I want you to take out of that hot topic. We'll talk about more of that in a minute. I have a caller. We have Richard on line one. Hi, Richard. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, how can I help you?
Lori, I was wondering, as far as making the distribution withdrawal on a 401k type plan, or and you're already doing it where you're past that penalty phase, you're over 59 and a half.
Okay.
But does it make sense to time the distribution, say, to wait till June 30th so you accrue that first half year's interest on the total principal and then to make your distribution, and then the second half of the year you would be getting the principal, which would be reflected at your end-of-year statement on what you left behind? Or do they actually, the way they figure out the interest on a lot of these accounts, is it accrued on a daily basis during the calendar year?
Well, Richard, I almost think I've had this debate about when is it best to take money out of an IRA. We have clients who are over age 70 and a half, and they have to take it out. They have required minimum distributions. If you are just over age 59 and a half, you do not have to take it out, but you may take it out. If you're retired, you may want to take it. So, I mean, you may, have to take it for your cash flow. So one of the things that I have, kind of wondered about is if you take it out at the beginning of the year, because the money comes out as ordinary income, it doesn't matter exactly what's happening to that money technically in your account. Whenever you take it out, it's just taxed one way. It's taxed as ordinary income. So let's pretend you had a $100,000 401k and you needed $20,000. Okay? So you have a $100,000 401k or IRA and you needed $20,000. If you take it out at the beginning of the year, your 401k now is only $80,000 and you have $20,000. If you don't need that money, you don't really need it. Let's pretend you don't really need it. And you take that $20,000 and you put it in a bank, or not a bank, a brokerage account, and you're getting dividends on it and you're getting some growth on it. The dividends and the growth will be tax favored. Qualified dividends qualify for a lower tax rate. Capital gains, if you hold them long term, qualify for a lower tax rate. If you keep the money in the 401k, it's all ordinary income. So if your $100,000, you keep it in and you don't take the $20,000 out till the end of the year, and maybe your $100,000 turned into, $108,000, then you take the $20,000 out. What is that? $108,000 less $20,000. $88,000. You have your growth in your 401k or your IRA is all ordinary income. So you've grown it all at ordinary rates. Whereas if you took the money out at the beginning of the year, in my example, and you didn't use it for anything else and you could invest it, I might be growing it at better tax rates.
Okay.
But bear out one more minute, Richard. So in my mind, I kind of always thought, if we take it out sooner. Now, the dilemma, though, is, Richard, if you take that $20,000 out and you have to pay tax on that, are you taking out net of tax? Because that's the issue. A lot of people will talk about defer, meaning wait as long as you can to take the money out, because what you would have used to pay the taxes, if you keep it in the IRA, that money gets to grow too. Whereas if you take it out and it's net of tax, you've just lost the growth on the tax. Do you see the difference?
I think I'm following you. My question was at even a lower penny pinching scale, mm-hmm. which I'm sure you appreciate, mm-hmm. Would be the fact, say, today is June 26th.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the end of the second fiscal quarter of this year is, say, June 30th.
Okay.
Now, when they are, you know, when I get my accumulated interest for the year 2013, will it be any, will I see any additional principal or interest by leaving it in the money in the account until June 30th? Or do they, the way they figure out the interest, is it, you know, compounded on a daily basis, so it really doesn't matter that you wait till the end of a quarter or you wait till the end of, you know, two quarters, something
okay.
like that.
Well, I see now where you're going, Richard. What you're kind of saying is, how are the underlying investments going to pay the income into your account? Now, you talk about interest, but you might also have mutual funds in there that are paying dividends. So that might be something you want to look at, but I can't probably comment on that without knowing what the underlying investments would be. So if you have, for example, stocks that might, you know, be paying a dividend any day, and it depends on if you're of record, those kind of underlying investments in your, even in your IRA, you know, that will still hold true even if that income all comes out as ordinary income. So what you're asking is, would you get more income by leaving it in? You know, it would probably depend on what the underlying investments are.
Yeah, I think in the scheme of things, it's probably a pretty close call, like
right.
the strike zone
right.
in a baseball game. But
right.
I thought I'd give you the opportunity to share your insights.
Yeah, but that is a good point. And I think it goes back to understanding what you have in your accounts and how they're diversified. Now, I will mention, Richard, something for people to pay attention to when you're looking at, you know, when is the income going to pay in those investments that are in your 401k? You also want to look at what kind of income it is, because if I have someone, I'll give you a very extreme example. If I have someone who has a whole portfolio of bonds, which is fixed income, it's all ordinary income, it's interest, and someone who has a portfolio of stocks, which has the potential to grow and has qualified dividends, things that qualify for lower tax rates, I want that in a non-IRA kind of account, because I have seen where people will have bonds in their individual account and they have stocks in their IRA account, and they say, oh, it's great, I've got these stocks in my IRA account, I have all these great dividends and all of this great growth. Well, guess what? They don't get any of the tax advantages if it's in their IRA. They might get the growth, but they're not getting the income tax advantages.
Okay.
So you want to look to see if you have your fixed income in your IRA and your equities outside of your IRA. If you're looking to balance your portfolio, you want to make sure you're balancing across all your accounts and being smart about where you put what kind of income. Do you follow me on that? Because your IRA
is
all ordinary income. So if you're going to have bonds and interest, the better place to probably stick that might be your IRA. But you have to look at it overall, work with your financial advisor to make sure you've got it structured the right
well,
way.
Well, I tell you, you just, this feeling of appreciation that washed over me as far as this type of advice, I think, especially for the people in the earlier part of their careers, now is a good time to really start thinking about piling away some money for your future, and you know, these fine gradations over a 20-year period can really affect your balance growth.
That's very good, Richard, and thank you for, you know, pointing that out. And it's great advice. And if it, we all say, you know, wish, woulda, coulda, shoulda when we were younger, you know. So it's good advice. I hope everyone listens to it. So thank you for calling in. I really appreciate it.
It's nice speaking with you.
Okay. Have a good night. Thank you. Folks, we are talking about hot topics, hot buttons tonight. We touched on women, hot topic, interest rates a little bit there. And I just mentioned that we should be, it's about awareness. Instead of reacting emotionally to hot topics, it's about just kind of being present in your own life, present in you know, feeling things. That's a very female thing to say. So about the interest rates, I said what I would like the takeaway on this, you know, panic mode about interest rates, that it should be not so much as like, how am I going to react to that, but more taking stock in your own situation as far as, are you a borrower or are you a saver, and how can I take advantage of what's happening in the interest rate market? If I am a borrower and I think interest rates are going to be going up, then doesn't it make sense that we really should kind of take some steps in reducing our debt? That would help us a lot. And if at the same time we can start saving a little bit, we're kind of working both ends of that, and it could be really empowering. So you should do a little homework as well to see how your portfolio is positioned. Understand those underlying investments like we just talked about with Richard. You want to be diversified. Bonds have several risks, including credit risk, interest rate risk, and we've just been talking about interest rate risk a little bit because that is the hot topic that everyone seems to be talking about. When we come back from this next break, I'll talk a little bit more about that, and then I want to talk about the last two hot topics. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
And you are listening to WDIY, where definitely it's you, your source for local news and public affairs, NPR and music diversity. The folks, the time now is 6:46 p.m. Now back to our program.
Okay, folks, some last minute words on interest rates and bonds. If you're in bonds, how much? How much are you into bonds? What percentage? What dollar amount? Are they long-term bonds or short-term bonds? Sometimes you won't know if you're in a bond mutual fund, so you'll have to know or ask your advisor. The point is, the longer-term bonds may not be as attractive because their interest rates that they pay will not be as high as the newer issues in an increasing interest rate environment. And if you are a borrower, work on paying down your debt or restructuring your loans, maybe refinancing, because interest rates may be rising, the cost of debts might go up a little bit. And again, it's not about panicking at this point. All of this is happening kind of slowly right now. But be aware, and if you can take some steps to kind of mitigate the impact to you right now, do your homework and try to look and see ways that you can lower your debt cost if rates are going to be going up. There is a website for education on investing. It's called smartaboutmoney.org, smartaboutmoney.org. It's from the National Endowment for Financial Education. They have a free piece on investing, stocks, and bonds, and it's from the USAA Educational Foundation. It really looked like a nice piece, and I feel like it was explained in a way that people can understand. It talks about building toward your goals. What are stocks and bonds? Stock basics, bond basics, and managing your portfolio. So this is a great first step in trying to understand the lingo. And again, without getting into, you know, probably all the gritty details that you would rather not learn unless you're in the financial services world, it gives you enough information and vocabulary that you can make informed decisions and kind of just awareness. So I really like that. It's, again, the website is smartaboutmoney.org, and it is from the National Endowment for Financial Education. I do want to mention again, a thank you to my callers. I really love when people call in. I love answering questions. I love problem solving. The phone number is 610-758-8810. And you can always send questions through the website at yourfinancialchoices.com. And if there are a little bit more lengthy questions or you're not comfortable talking on air, that's a great way to privately send those questions, and I'll do my best to answer them. Hot topic number three, I'm going to go over very briefly. Jim Cramer said on CNBC today that recent spike in mortgage rates is monumental and that will likely cool off the hot housing market. He said that on Wednesday. I'm sorry, again, it's all about these big words. So monumental. It's going to, So this CNBC went on to say rates on U.S. home mortgages surged to the highest level in close to 2 years last week as the recent sell-off in the bond market after the Federal Reserve laid out a plan to wind down its massive stimulus program drove borrowing rates higher. Interest rates on fixed 30-year mortgage rates averaged 4.46% in the week ended June 21st, up 26 basis points from the previous week. Oh my gosh, 29 basis points. 100 basis points, folks, is 1%. So 29 basis points is 0.29%. We have to be, of course, smart, paying attention to interest rates and the difference like a 1% change can make. I get it. But I don't know if you need to like go into all panic mode. So people worried about interest rates going up are thinking, you know, or they thinking let's buy while prices are depressed. So what's going on in the housing market is they've said there's this recent boom and, you know, there's some shortages of housing in certain areas. And I think they're all talking about New York City, because that's where all the people on television are in those studios. So, you know, what I'm trying to say is you have to pay attention, you know, not to what you hear in the news necessarily, but pay attention to what affects you and how it affects you. You know, your neighborhood may be different than a New York City neighborhood. What kind of interest rate you are going to qualify for might be different than what, you know, the neighbor might qualify for. So even if rates are going up a little bit, if you have bad credit, well, guess what? You're already going to have not as an attractive as a rate. So if you want to have control over rates, control your credit or look at your credit or research it. You know, I think there was someone who just told me that. Oh, it was Jane Hathaway, who was our a mortgage executive with Premier Mortgage. She was on a few weeks ago, and I think she had found that when she was going to approve somebody, they had found something on the credit report that was like a mistake, and it was like 46 cents or something. So if you want to affect some of these things, instead of listening to the craziness you hear and these big words, as I said, try to affect what you can in your own life by, you know, saving better, being smarter about, you know, your financing, such that, folks, if you have not refinanced and you have had your home mortgage for many, many years, at least know what your interest rate is right now. And if you find that you just haven't been paying attention and, you know, it's too much trouble and, you know, you're at 7%, well, you know, you need to think about whether you should go refinance. Now, you may not qualify if you are underwater on your house or you have bad credit, but maybe that's not the case. And then you really have no excuse. So you need to go do a little bit of homework and try to, you know, manage your own situation as much as you can. All right. I've got just a few minutes left to talk about hot topic number four. This is my favorite. And the reason it's my favorite is it's Social Security planning. It's my favorite because it's not based on hysteria, like the interest rates and, you know, getting to women and the housing market. There's not a lot of hysteria around Social Security, except that some people, I guess, see, I don't buy into it, so I kind of forgot about it. But some people buy into it like, oh, Social Security's not going to be there when we retire. Well, you know, I think they'll work it out. There will be ways to work it out. But what you can do now is if you are someone who is thinking about retiring and you're thinking about when you should collect Social Security, if you have not already started collecting, you have options. And if you have not already started collecting, you have more options than the people who have already started collecting. If folks take Social Security at early retirement age, which is 62, you pretty much have wiped out your options. You've locked in a permanently reduced benefit. So What I love about Social Security planning, and again, there's so much more awareness around this, I would say probably in the last 3 or 4 years, maybe even a little bit more than that. If anybody reads a columnist, Umberto Cruz, he was talking about this Social Security planning several years ago. But what you need to be aware of is, first of all, you want to make sure what your benefit is. If you don't get those statements in the mail anymore, many of us don't. Some people have told me they've gotten them. But you can go online on the Social Security website, which is ssa.gov, and with inputting some very personal information, they will pull up your record and you can get your Social Security statement. You need to review it, make sure numbers look right, make sure it looks accurate, and then it'll give you projections. You've got to keep in mind that those projections, though, are assuming that you're going to work until, you know, XYZ age in your plan. It will say, you know, that you're going to work to that age and make this kind of income all of those years. So if you plan on retiring early, but maybe not taking Social Security, that projection may not be accurate for you any longer. Or if you stop working completely, that projection may not be accurate for you. So be aware of that. You get your numbers and then you start doing your planning. For those people who are married, you have lots of options, more options than those people who are single. And your options, you know, you can collect Social Security at age 62. That's the earliest, unless, you know, there's disability or such. But 62, or if you're a widow, you can collect at 60. See, I'm a female and my brain can go in a million different directions, so I start seeing all the exceptions. But basically, early retirement is 62. Full retirement age nowadays, 66, 67. Some people might still fall in under a younger age. A permanently reduced benefit if you take benefits prior to full retirement age. At full retirement age, you get what's called your PIA. I just forgot what that stood for, but it's your full benefit. And if you decide to delay and not collect until age 70, you actually get an 8% premium on your benefit each year. So that is the ages. If you wait till full retirement and you're married, though, there could be a spousal benefit that you could take advantage of, where you could play kind of the higher of an earned benefit or a spousal benefit. So if you're full retirement age, one of you could collect on the other's record, which is the spousal benefit. And then when you're full retirement age, primary insurance amount, thank you, Jeff, PIA, primary insurance amount, that's your full retirement benefit. You can collect on a spouse if they have started collecting, if you're full retirement age, and then you could switch to your own record. So I don't have time for the rest of the show to kind of go into all the details about that, but that hot topic, Social Security planning, definitely do Social Security planning. It can make a really big difference, and obviously you have to make some assumptions about Social Security. You have to have an assumption that it's going to be there, assumption about interest rates, cost of living adjustments, assumptions about, life expectancy. So there are definitely some assumptions you have to use in that planning, but it can be quite powerful and quite powerful to the survivor. Because remember, I said at the top of the show, those women are keep showing up. Those women, 70% of widows will change their financial advisor with 1 year of their spouse's death. And that's because women are surviving their husbands and they want to make sure that their advisor understands them, is caring about the same concerns that they have, which quite often might be their children, their welfare, are they going to be okay? More touchy-feely kind of events in their life. So women end up surviving, just by statistics, longer than men. So those decisions on Social Security can definitely impact a survivor's benefit if the husband was the higher earner and you want to maximize the benefit to that surviving spouse. A lot of decision making in that. All right. So I hope you enjoyed the Hot Topics tonight. I really thank the callers. You made my night, Richard, Tom, and Jennifer. Thank you so much for calling in. Folks, if we didn't get to questions that you might have had or they're a little bit more complicated, you can send them through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. There might be some other information there as well. And if you need to listen to any prior shows, we'd love you to visit wdiy.org. Look for prior podcast. Lots of good information. We might even have had a show on Social Security. I'm not sure how far back they go. I haven't looked lately. So we thank you for being here, listeners. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Judy Ann. Next week, I will be out, but I will be happy to be back on July 10th. So next week, I think they're going to run additional episodes of either All Things Considered or In the Tradition, All Things Considered. So they'll just run an extra segment of that. But I will be back July 10th, and I'm going to talk about catching up. At that time, catching up on our retirement savings, catching up with credit cards, catching up with our family members and related issues to that. We're going to catch up when I return on July 10th. Coming up next, Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. And make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.